Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and you can get in on the conversation with us. You can call 603-283-6160. That is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Joa,
and Jay.
And it's Free Talk Live. You can call in with whatever's on your mind, but we're talking now about FinCEN proposing to make a new rule that you'll have to live by. That
no things,
you know, that isn't something that people you elected created. It's just what FinCEN said.
I'm not subject to the jurisdiction of these guys, and they have provided no such evidence that I am, and I've asked them.
But you'll have to say that to the jury, and they're a bunch of idiots, so.
Yes, most of them are.
Anyways, we're reading this article from Coindesk.com that says the U.S. Treasury seeks to name crypto mixers as a money laundering concern. And for those just tuning in, crypto mixers are a site, a service where you can send money, cryptocurrency in, and get the same amount back, maybe less a fee, and it won't be as traceable.
Well, nobody knows what your new account number is or reference number to your crypto.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
So,
you're starting over. You're fresh. Like, if when you use Bitcoin, people can see your transactions as long as they have some sort of trace on you. Like, if they did a dealing with you, send you crypto Bitcoin, you can see everything that they do on their wallet. Since they sent you a little something.
Unless you're trading a paper wallet or trading cassatious coins, like you would trade, you know, bars of silver or dollar or pieces or, you know, paper dollars. So, you know, that's sort of untraced. But, you know, is there really crypto on that crypto wallet? Can you, can you verify that, you know, on like the paper wallets?
Yeah, I've never used those. Don't know how they work or anything. But I think that most people already go into using crypto knowing that it's pseudonymous.
Right.
That's kind of the point. It's not supposed to be anonymous, and people are like, oh, I had no idea it wasn't anonymous, or at least people who are actually into need to use it for this purpose, because one of the reasons it's good that it's not completely anonymous is you can check yourself. It's trustless. Verify yourself that funds went where they're supposed to go.
Yeah, but crypto implies, like, this is why I think people getting into it. Look, if you understanding about anonymity and everything like that, and cryptology, you wouldn't have to really worry about this. But crypto implies anonymity.
I don't think it really matters. Like, you take 5 seconds to learn about it before you get into it. Whose fault is it if you don't know that crypto isn't completely anonymous?
Fair enough. Yeah, I think if you're technologically inclined, you'd figure that out.
I don't think you need to be technologically inclined, though. It just takes like 2 seconds of Googling to figure it out. I feel like you have this like stick up your butt about cryptocurrency right now, and I don't understand why.
Well, no, what I'm saying is,
why do
like,
you care if some dumb person gets into cryptocurrency, doesn't understand it, and uses it incorrectly?
Well,
I do kind of care about that.
I do care about that, yeah.
Because it makes the rest of the crypto world look bad.
Somebody starts using it and they're like, I thought this was anonymous.
It's kind of like some dumb person getting a gun in his hand and shooting himself by accident or shooting a little
kid by
accident.
Well, what can you do about it? All you can do about it is talk about how cryptocurrency is not anonymous in public.
No, well, I mean, what can you do about it is, you know, try to educate people about it. You know,
yeah, that's what I meant.
And, you know, that's what you can do about it. But what I was going to bring up is, you know, one thing the government really dislikes about Bitcoin specifically is that it is totally 100% traceable. And I say they dislike that because who's the guy, Overstock.com, Patrick Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been working on this thing like that would, you know, basically be like a blockchain technology for all securities and exchange transactions and trading, so it was totally transparent.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if all of like the municipal corporations, so all the cities, towns, states, federal, all the municipal corporations had to use a blockchain technology to do all their transactions and everything? You know, so it would be really easy to figure out how much of your land taxes, you know, go to pay the pension benefits.
Your
for example,
exact Bitcoin that you paid it with.
Well, I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be Bitcoin, but let's say it was a blockchain technology. And also, like, voting should be a blockchain, a decentralized, you know, sort of federated, you know, blockchain technology also, if it was going to be actual real digital voting.
They don't even want it to be free and open source software at all. They want voting with something that you can't get into and figure out. Yeah, what happened to your vote?
They're like just opposites. Like, they don't want this to be traced, and they want this to be traced.
Right. Mm-hmm. They want anything that involves you spending money to be traced, but not their own cities. And I think it's also funny that cities, sometimes they'll get hit by stupid scams. I'm not, like, really making fun of anybody for getting hit by a scam. It's like, it sucks if you get hit by a scam. But then they will go buy crypto just to pay off their scam and send a bunch of people's tax dollars to some scammer.
So I have often thought about, so Ian was telling me a couple years ago about some local town, one of these little towns, they had gotten their data or something, they had hacked them.
Right.
And they were holding something hostage, like a computer or something, and they wanted like X amount of Bitcoin. And I don't know if they called Ian to buy some Bitcoin. And Ian's like, what do you want it for? And they were like, oh, we're getting, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I remember Ian was saying something to the fact, like, is this, like, stuff even worth this much money, first off? Like, whatever they were holding hostage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they just declined to even have anything to do with the hacker. But let's say you work for a government or a major corporation. You could be literally right there behind a computer or from your device, you know, the hacker that made its way in because you sort of have access and demand some kind of payment in cryptocurrency. I think a lot of these like hacks where they demand money is total inside job, first off, whatever.
It's likely.
Very likely.
In every cyber attack, it's like there's just no way to know who's actually behind it. There's, like, I think you brought this up before. There's not going to be, like, there's no way to get an image of the guy sitting on his computer
right. And
who's doing this. And that's how I feel about all of the victims in Ian's case, quote-unquote victims, because they're not Ian's victims, but they're scam victims. How are we going through with Ian giving them any kind of quote-unquote restitution when we have no idea where they sent this money to? For all we know, they control the cryptocurrencies that they sent the money to. They control the cryptocurrency wallets that they sent the money to. There was never any part of...
Yeah, I believe the feds are the ones setting this all up.
Right.
And look, these ransom attacks, crypto ransom attacks, there's no doubt a lot of this has been perpetrated by the government. And I feel like they're just like, hey, we need to randomly attack someone. And, like, this is how they do it. Like, let's just, you know, hit them with a crypto...
Remind the people why they need us. That's what they're constantly doing.
Yeah, but like, oh, this guy is becoming profitable right now? Let's cyber attack his company and get him to buy some crypto and send it to us. It just makes sense why they would do this. And like, I don't know.
And even when it's their own systems, like a lot of times there's these cyber attacks on like government, quote unquote, internet infrastructure, and you're supposed to be scared.
Justifying them spend more money.
Yeah, it's just, for all we know, they send money to the ransom holder who's actually the government holding this cryptocurrency wallet that they sent it to, and then the taxpayers pay them back for it, and then they have double the amount of money.
Yeah, go ahead.
The cyber attack stuff is the perfect, like, plausible deniability situation. And so if you look at, like, large corporations that have thousands of employees,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at, like, government, all these government agencies have massive amounts of employees. I think the federal government is one of the largest, like, single employers in the nation, and it should be the smallest, but it shouldn't even exist as far as I'm concerned. And then all the contractors that work in it. But so if we know that 3 to 5% of the population are actual sociopaths and or psychopaths, That's sort of some numbers that have been spit out there. So if you have a company that has, you know, 1,000 people in it, you can, you know, bet that 30 to 50 of them are quite likely going to be these sociopath types or psychopath types. Or you have a government agency that has 1,000 people in it, and we know that people who lust for power, you know, prefer government jobs because they come with, the qualified immunity and all this stuff. But there is just it is quite likely that somebody in the companies or that works in these governments can, like, kind of understand how things work and would even know where to, like, all right, we know that this data is worth $1 million or $20 million, so they would be happy to give us $5 million to get it back, for example, or even $1 million, or even $500,000 in some form of cryptocurrency. And then, you know, Bitcoin, and they can even be using cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin to facilitate these transactions and purposely doing it so they can say, look at Bitcoin's being used to, you know, commit
for nefarious reasons.
Right.
And funding scams. Terrorists.
Yep. Right. Hamas, who totally has nothing to do with us. We totally don't give them weapons or instructions or anything like that.
None of us do, but the Biden regime does.
No, that's what I was saying. And, I was trying to be dumb. Yeah. Sorry. So they're like, oh, Hamas, we totally don't have anything to do with them. They're using cryptocurrency, so now it makes cryptocurrency look bad.
And it just makes me think about FTX, scam, bankster, fraud. That's what they came up the other night on the show.
I hadn't thought of scam, and I thought it was a good one. I always think of Sam like Uncle Sam.
Yeah, Uncle Sam. Scam.
Yeah, bankster fraud. Yeah, I think that he was totally an actor or, you know, just somebody taking orders.
I just feel like because he was using his business, whatever, to fund Ukrainians,
politicians, a whole bunch
terrorism.
Of Democrat politicians.
Yeah, yeah, Democrat politicians. Like, that is yet to come out. Like, I'm actually curious his sentencing is coming up, I think.
No, he already got sentenced.
And he got sentenced.
He got
found guilty.
Convicted, but not sentenced.
Yeah, I think they said next year is when they're going to
do it. Reason for that is because if he got convicted on some, I think, 7 charges, then they were going to bring out some more charges. But if he got found, you know, not guilty on those, then they were going to leave those other ones dropped. So that's why sentencing is pushed back like a long time.
I had seen somewhere in freedomsphoenix.com, one of the articles was basically talking about there was allegedly some list of essentially politicians that got all kinds of money from Alameda Research or FTX or, you know, basically Sam Bankman-Fried.
Right.
And it was like, so you guys going to give this money back? Is the Biden campaign going to give back all the money they got from them? Pelosi got money from them, a whole bunch of the, you know, crooked.
Are they going to have to, you know, help pay the people back that lost their money?
These politicians are, like, very flush with money, and they could have, you know, there should be no problem with them returning stolen money.
Right.
And so it'd be interesting if, you know, the people who actually lost money in the FTX scam, any of them are going to get any money back? You know, are any of these assets going to be sold that these guys own? The bondholders get it all first. You know, whatever comes out when something, you know, collapses, you know, not the actual, you know, people who invested or whatever.
And they also used Scam Bankman-Fried's thing to help the jury decide to convict Ian. I'm 100% sure. The judge, randomly, without anybody bringing him up right before the jury left one day during the trial, the judge was like, just so you know, when you guys go home and you see on the news there is this story about this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, who just got arrested, just so you know, just keep in mind that just because it has to do with cryptocurrency, it has nothing to do with Ian Freeman. And obviously, there's nothing wrong with the words he's saying, but why even bring that up?
It's like telling your kid not to, you know, don't pick up the stick and hit your brother.
Right.
Like, and, you know, the kid didn't even care about the stick until you mentioned not to use it to hit your brother, and he wasn't even thinking about hitting his brother. But,
that'd
you know,
be really fun.
This is what happens with
but
kids.
But don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and scam, bankster, fraud. Sorry, it doesn't roll off the tongue that easily. He's like the best example, or the worst example that the government could bring up And just by mentioning him is definitely creating that bias in the case for Ian.
Right. And it, I don't think Ian's, like, terrible lawyer even objected to that. So, oh, well, it's, like, nothing we can do about it. But I just believe that, that it has something to do with why they convicted him.
Yeah, I know so many people who have just put faith in these lawyers, yeah, and they've got, you know, themselves screwed. Lawyers are about keeping people in the box.
People in our own community would talk about this lawyer like, oh, he's the best. He's really good.
Yeah, and right. The fact that he's a lawyer means he's no good.
Right.
Right then and there.
Well, moving back on to this Coindesk.com article. It says, FinCEN said that mixing services, which seek to allow users to conduct transactions with anonymity, are used by, quote, a variety of illicit actors throughout the world. Referring by name to Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which I guess is North Korea, the agency said, this proposed rule is a key part of the ongoing effort to boost transparency in the crypto markets. Which to me, it's like, it doesn't belong to you guys. It should just be up to the people who use it.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong to any state. It should be up to whoever, the people who use it. Like,
heck, aliens could come down tomorrow and start using it.
Right.
They don't even have to come down. They just got to make a communication.
That's a good point.
They don't even have to be here. They could do it from the moon.
And
send me crypto aliens.
Does that make them suddenly under the jurisdiction of the United States of America? No. I think that's, in fact, that would be a great thing to happen if aliens were on the moon and connected with Earth, and the United States and other governments started trying to say, oh, they're under our jurisdiction because they're using cryptocurrency. It would just be so obvious to people, finally, that it makes no sense, like, that they're under your jurisdiction.
We're aliens on the moon.
Yeah.
So what needs to happen is people need to ask for the evidence that subjects me to the jurisdiction of the United States. Just quite simply. I mean, did Ian's lawyer ever once request the evidence that they rely on, that the United States Corporation, this entity calling itself United States, is...
I mean, they did put a flag on the moon.
Is a holder in due course of some kind of instrument that Ian, agreed to. Yeah, this is why... And lawyers won't ask that question because they'll get disbarred. They will not challenge... the lawyers cannot protect you. They cannot protect your rights. They can only represent you and help feed you to the furnace of the state.
Yep. And going on, it says the Treasury Department and the wider administration of President Joe Biden have been under pressure from U.S. lawmakers to do something about the use of crypto to support terrorism, especially in light of reports that Hamas received some crypto donations in advance of its attack this month in Israel. And I'm pretty sure that's like 100%. The one from Massachusetts.
Elizabeth Warren, yeah. the millionth Indian.
Yeah,
millionth of an Indian. She's diabolically evil, that Elizabeth Warren. And when it says U.S. lawmakers are being pressured, so I bet you if we took these U.S. lawmakers and saw who their lobbyists are that give them money, it's going to be banks.
Oh, financial. That's a good point.
So it's finance. So whoever these U.S. lawmakers are, guys like Lindsey Graham and Pelosi, the scumbags, the evil people who are funded by Wall Street and a financial institution, and essentially the Federal Reserve, controls all these, Wall Street and financial institutions. The lawmakers, it's the lobbyists who control the lawmakers, not the actual people.
Yep.
In New Hampshire, I think that the lawmakers, some of them are controlled by the people, but not most of them.
It says, FinCEN Director Andrea Gackie noted that this is her agency's first ever use of its power to target so-called primary money laundering concerns on a whole class of transactions. If the designation is made, the Treasury Department can impose restrictions on U.S. financial firms' dealings with the mixers, which range from requiring additional due diligence and special attention concerning particular account transactions among U.S. financial institutions to prohibiting the opening or maintenance of any correspondent or payable through accounts. I'm not sure what all that means. After the comment period, the agency will have to review that input before it can advance a final rule. I'm pretty sure they don't care at all what the public says. They have to review it. Oh, okay. That doesn't mean that they have to, prove that they actually were listening and use the input or anything like that. Earlier this week, the Treasury also announced sanctions against individuals and entities tied to Hamas, including a Gaza-based business accused of being a Bitcoin conduit for terrorists. And that's pretty scary. And that's all we have here. It's actually funny. Oh, wow. I scroll down, and another article, it says, read more. Another article from CoinDesk, it says, U.S. Senator Warren leads lawmakers to push administration on crypto-backed terrorism. So I was hunting.
She doesn't even understand the terminologies. I was listening to her, and I don't remember exactly right now what it was, but she was saying the wrong words to describe crypto.
She's basically a Manchurian candidate like most of these guys are. She's being programmed. She's being told what to do. You know, like, if she was a dude, I would say she's probably got some videos of her doing unspeakable things with children.
You don't know what part she has.
Who in their right mind, you know, supports the policies and the ideology like of Elizabeth Warren? And, you know, and like another guy, I heard a clip from Eminem, for example. Eminem's like, oh, yeah, Joe Biden's awesome, all this. And this was, like, recent. I'm like, really? You're going to, like, say, like, a pedophile's good and you support him and stuff? So, you know,
what actually
did Eminem go to Epstein's Island?
Probably.
Is there a video of him doing some stuff? Because there has to be some really dark dirt on you that they have, and they're willing, if you're going to actually support someone, like, you know, support these kind of things. And who are Elizabeth Warren's, financial backers? Who are the lobbyists that give to Elizabeth Warren?
Big Pharma, I believe.
The other thing about it is
Pharma and the banks of Wall Street.
I think that a lot of people are just that stupid. Like, Taylor Swift, I don't even get vibes like, oh, she might have done some Epstein Island stuff, and now that's why she made cookies that save Biden 2024 on them. No, I think that Taylor Swift is just incredibly stupid.
So the thing is, if she's aware that her popularity is basically is controlled by the algorithm, and then the algorithm's like, okay, you have to do this. And remember, the algorithm can disguise itself as anybody, unless the algorithm and AI are interchangeable, as far as I'm concerned. So Taylor Swift is obviously co-opted if she's supporting the Biden administration.
Yeah. I mean, I know Taylor Swift is co-opted because I'm a pop music connoisseur, and her pop music sucks, but she's, like, the most popular artist in the world right now. So obviously, it's just the, like you're saying, the algorithm tells people you like Taylor Swift, so then they do, then they go to her show. It's just like mind control.
Rock the vote for Taylor Swift.
And they couldn't even get people to come see Beyonce and Jay-Z to go to a Joe Biden concert where they played to support them. They couldn't get a picture of a very big crowd for even some of the top artists of
But
like,
Swift,
all time.
Swift could really make a dent.
Only because of the algorithm. She's not actually good.
The simplistically repetitive pop music that's been being pushed for decades is part of what has been dumbing down America.
603-283-6160. What do you think about that? It's Free Talk Live. You can call in with your opinion. More coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Israel has agreed to implement daily 4-hour ceasefires in the conflict against Hamas in Gaza.
This should hopefully give some room for innocent civilians to move out of places where there's heavy fighting going on.
White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Olivia Dalton described this agreement as a significant step. Additionally, further humanitarian aid is being facilitated through the Rafah crossing from Egypt. It's expected that the Senate Judiciary Committee will pass subpoenas for Harlan Crow and Leonard Leo in relation to an ethics inquiry concerning the Supreme Court. There are accusations that conservative justices may have received hospitality and travel from Crow and others without proper disclosure. Mortgage rates are down for the second straight week. This week's drop is a quarter of a percentage point from the week before. Dave Collins, USA News.
It seems like every day economic news gets more and more sketchy. We're already seeing huge volatility in the stock market and a rapid erosion in the value of the U.S. dollar. But this time, an economic downturn could happen faster than you ever imagined. Direct Bullion USA, America's number one precious metals company, wants to let you know that now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-GOLD and get your free gold investor kit today. Don't wait. Call Direct Bullion USA now at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold and silver survival kit. With all of the uncertainty of a world gone mad, you can take control of your financial future with one call to Direct Bullion USA. Call us now at 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call in and get in on the conversation this last segment. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Joa,
and Jay.
And before we get to the phones, I did want to let Jay go ahead and give his announcement about Anarchapulco.
So Anarchapulco is happening. I got an email a couple of days ago, said that they have confirmed with the hotel and the other part of the venue that, like, it's going to happen. They have crews working on getting it cleaned up because of the
hurricane
that came through there.
A rainless hurricane.
Yeah, or there's some people are saying a big tornado.
Hmm.
Anyways, one of the best things that that can be done to support the Anarchapulco is just go down there and spend money. Acapulco, I mean. And one of the ways you can do that is by going to Anarchapulco, which is February 8th, or no, 11th through 18th, 2024. I will be presenting my part of my lecture series of Investing in Our Posterity. There'll be a whole bunch of other speakers. It's going to go on. I mean, there's like the speaker list is pretty big. There's going to be a lot of activities to do. There's like a whole Anarcho-Forco or something right after Anarchapulco if you want to hang out down there longer. I plan on being down there for at least 2 weeks, me and my family. But if you go to anarchapulco.com and you go to the ticket section and you use the coupon code J, that's J-A-Y, you'll get a 10% discount. And it's going to be a good time. Check out anarchapulco.com.
Going to your phone calls and thoughts, I believe this is Tony in Oklahoma. Is that who we were talking to?
Yes.
What's on your mind tonight?
Jay, I think it was Jay, and you guys were talking about a lawyer that won like 13 cases, but he didn't pass the bar one night.
Hmm.
And I was wondering if Jay, okay, sorry, somebody was, and I didn't know you were talking about lawyers there, Jay, and I was wondering if you heard that they are trying to pass something to where you do not have to go through the bar exam now. You have to be like a mentor. You get a mentor, and then I get so many hours in, and then you become a lawyer? I didn't know if you heard anything about that either. I'm a truck driver, so it's hard for me to read everything and hear everything.
Sure. Well, and thank you for your service as a truck driver. I put on a lot of miles in my day hauling horses and hay and cattle. And definitely, you are way more valuable than any lawyer or politician. You're actually more valuable than all of them put together, as far as I'm concerned. Because you provide a service that we all need. Thank you. So I can tell you that my father defended himself, in federal court back in the late 80s. He was facing 15 years in prison aiding and abetting a felony flee prosecution. My grandmother actually had the same charges brought against her. She was convicted. She had an attorney. My dad and a couple of his legal beagle friends, as he referred to them, wrote my grandmother's appeal, and 30 days later she was out of jail. And this is where the thing is, my father was interviewing attorneys and lawyers, and these guys. So the thing is, when you go to interview an attorney and talk to them, they want you to sign some document saying that you're not going to basically go talk to any other lawyer, and you're not going to get a second opinion. This is like going to a doctor. Like, if you ever interviewed an attorney, they're like, yeah, well, we're not going to talk to you about this unless you sign this, some kind of crap. Because I talked to a few attorneys about, I was just wanting to hire someone who was an attorney or a lawyer as legal counsel, not as a representative, not as a representer. And none of them were interested in doing that. I'm like, well, you make $300 an hour, I can't hire you, and, I'm like, I'll hire you for a whole day. You want to do an 8-hour day, or you want to do a 6-hour day? I'll pay you $300 an hour. Help you go over some paperwork with me. Kind of, give me some ideas of what I got to do. Tell me where I'm wrong. And they're just totally not interested. They're like, nope, it's like 10 grand, it's 15 grand. And the lawyers can just do that because they have all the work they want, because they all create controversies and they provide work for each other. So when my father presented his case, and he wrote the appeal for my grandmother, and he won his case in court, he was actually admitted into the the Massachusetts Bar Association, not like as a bar member, but as someone who was sort of like allowed to do these kind of lawyer things, not as a lawyer.
Wow.
Assisted counsel?
So we all have a right to assistance of counsel at our election.
Mm-hmm.
The Bill of Rights does not say anything about lawyers or attorneys, and lawyers and attorneys existed, but the people who wrote those documents were very fed up with the actions of lawyers and attorneys. Lawyers and attorneys are basically the ones that are responsible for most of the problems that we have. Like, for example, one of the things that is happening with the New Hampshire legislature is New Hampshire is a state where there can be no 50-50 custody of children in separations or divorces. One party has to have custody, and the other one and pays child support. And the reason that for 25 years now, I was at a New Hampshire Liberty Alliance summit a few months ago, and they were talking about this. For 25 years, they've been trying to get this 50-50 custody. So a lot of parents are like, okay, hey, we're agreeing to not be together anymore, and we'll just split the kids 50-50. And New Hampshire's like, no, you can't
do
that.
That's crazy.
Family court.
Wow.
So this is also another reason not to get a marriage license, not to get the state involved in your affairs. But there are women who... I know a couple that got married at Porkfest, right? And they were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to get a marriage license. We're not going to do this. In fact, Daryl Perry married them at Porkfest. It's 15 years ago. And they got, and as they were getting a divorce and getting separated, the wife starts, trying to run this stuff all into probate court and get the state involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, and trying to use the state as leverage. Now, that never really happened. You know, the husband kind of gave in and just, you know, complied with all the demands of the wife. And I was like, dude, you don't have to do that crap. You know, because there's no contract. You're not, you know, there wasn't no contract getting the government involved, and she can't get the government involved. You know, it's between you and her. So, anyways, just keep that in mind. They'll still, like, they can still try to bring the government in. So, what happens is the reason there's no 50-50 custody is because there's this lawyer that is, like, on this committee that keeps on, like, derailing this entire thing. So I said to these state representatives...
You say 50-50, no, lawyer, they take a third.
Yeah. So this lawyer trying to derail the 50-50 custody thing, it's the same guy, he's a lawyer. And I said, oh, is he a lawyer for the state? Yes, he is. He works for the state. I says, oh, does he pay into, is he a contributor to, and will he collect from the judicial pension fund? And they're like, I think so, you know, and nobody had really the exact answer to that. But if you work as a lawyer for the state and you work as a member of the judicial branch of the state, you work in that particular judiciary, it is quite likely you're going to collect from the judicial pension fund and you pay into it. Well, that's what I explained to these guys. And go, well, you're aware that whoever child, you know, the child support thing is whoever, when they award child support, and there is no award for child support in a 50-50 situation because it's just, you know, it's split. You know, you're taking 50% responsibility. And so this guy knows that their pension funds get a massive injection. 66% is what I'm told by.
And, like, wherever else it goes, according to Rob, they won't even tell you where it goes sometimes.
Right, yeah, they won't even tell you where it goes. But, so this money that is injected into the pension fund comes out of the Social Security fund. So if a guy like Rob's ordered to pay, $100 a week in child support, for example, $66 of that child support doesn't go into the pension fund. The federal government actually kicks in the $66 that goes towards the pension fund. But what's the amount of money in New Hampshire, like, it would be interesting, that is being paid in child support? Well, two-thirds of that is going to, is getting injected to the judicial pension fund. And a judicial pension fund is definitely going to be lawyers, prosecutors, clerks, secretaries in these courthouses. Is it going to be the bailiffs in the courthouses? Is it going to be, the staff, the janitor, all these people? And I'm sure even to become a janitor in a courthouse, you get it because you're connected, you know, just like all the other cushy state jobs.
Oh, for sure.
And
so you work there.
So right. So that's the only way you get those kind of jobs. The only way you get a job at the toll booth and on the Massachusetts Turnpike or the New York Thruway is because you're politically connected or working for the state DOT or the county DOT. Actually, now you can get jobs working for New Hampshire DOT because they're so desperate for help. Because a lot of young people who actually have, work ethic and ability want to go work for a construction company, then a lot of them don't want to work for the state because the state's so horrible.
And they also don't pay very well.
They don't pay well compared to the equivalent job you get working in a construction company. You are correct.
That's why I think New Hampshire's going to eventually fail and collapse because I've noticed, even secretaries in the sheriff's department here in Keene, in Cheshire County, they are the sheriffs are having their wives work as secretaries. So I'm like, I mean, it's conflict of interest, but I'm not surprised because, they're going to get away with things probably.
Yeah, and I'm sure the sheriffs have, executive pension fund that they collect into, the police, the governor, and I don't know if there's a legislative pension fund, or I'm sure the legislature hires some people to do some stuff. I know the legislatures just get, the legislative office.
They don't get much.
They get $100 a year, so there's no pension fund there, I doubt, but... If there's a judicial pension fund, I'm sure there's an executive one and a legislative one. And there are people that work in the state house year-round doing legislative-type things.
Yeah, the governor's board or whatever it is.
Or whatever, unelected people. But, so Jeff Younger, if anybody wants to research this, if you would do the internet search, Jeff Younger, TimCast, child support, there's a clip of him. He was on TimCast show explaining this federal money that's pushed into the judicial pension fund in every single state. Now, it's actually something that I need to like to hire someone to actively look into that in New Hampshire. I don't really know how to find out all that information, but yeah, there's a massive conflict of interest with Family Court and DCYF and all of this stuff with
in Freedom
Judicial. Yeah, it was a judicial pension fund. In fact, in my wife's case, where she's charged with child endangerment, there's their witness is a career in the government. She 20 years in the Merrimack County Prosecutor's Office, one of their witnesses. And the prosecutor collects from the pension fund. I'm sure there's secretary.
The witness probably does.
In the pension fund. And the judge is all part of the same pension fund. And the judge and the prosecutor are the same employees union,
and they all
called
get,
the Bar Association.
They all get more money in their pension fund if your wife gets convicted of this. That's crazy.
Well, possibly. I haven't quite figured. I think that might happen. I don't know where that particular money goes. But the fact that they are all in the same pension fund means that there's no way that judge can be impartial. There's no way that prosecutor can be impartial.
Yep.
And the fact that the prosecutor, for example, gets, the only way he can go up this ladder, let's say the corporate ladder, is by getting convictions.
Yeah.
They essentially want to get convictions against people like my wife, because I am very much active in talking bad about these guys and exposing these guys. And if you go on my YouTube video, you can see some YouTube channel, Jay Noon. You can see some videos that I've put up of these social workers and explaining the DCYF situation and what's going on. And now we're going forward with an affidavit process to where we got the legislature. Leah Cushman is doing a really good job. She did a nice clip of her out there on YouTube. I don't actually know how you'd even find it off the top of my head, where she is explaining to the legislature, your job is to follow the Constitution and protect the rights of the people. And as we know, everything but that is essentially happening on these government levels in every single governmental, municipal corporation, whatever you want to call it, all across the board. They are not protecting people's rights. They are harvesting the people's energy, stealing from them, extorting them, all
the
these things constantly. Yes, they are textbook definition of parasites, all government employees.
And they don't give back to their communities, like someone like a truck driver like Tony. So, Tony, is that all you had for us tonight?
That was it. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, but government officials will say that they also pay for their own salaries. They also pay for taxes. So you're saying they're like... they're sucking their own blood at times.
Getting high off their own belly button lint is more how I would explain that. And when I say parasites, I mean, I will tell you that, like, the state highway guys that are in, like, my area, they work for New Hampshire DOT, like the guys who, you know, plow the road and stuff. Like, I've talked to a whole bunch of them, and they're, like, pretty all right dudes.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're not, like, young. They're definitely not woke, any of them. You know, they're like, right, they're like real men. And the thing is like, yeah, they are in a position of a parasite because of who they're working for. But they're the kind of people that even like our own chief of police, like I really don't like to call him a parasite, even though, you know, he gets this money that's stolen, you know, as part of his job. But he's like, you know, he's like a good, you know, family guy. And he
would,
like,
be doing good regardless of the state existing or not.
So as soon as the state collapses, like if the state collapsed tomorrow, I'm going to be like, all right, you know, I'm going to say to the local cops, this is how much you guys want to, you know, sort of protect me and my neighbors, because, you know, they're already equipped. They have the training. They have the knowledge. And because they're not woke and they're not like, you know, they don't have this agenda. They're just family people.
What do they say? We'll be there in about 10 minutes.
Well, I don't know
what
they say.
If you were actually if they're. Paycheck depended on how well they protected Jay and his family.
Right. But I was saying when it collapses, if the financial system falls apart and there's no way to tax the slaves,
mm-hmm.
because right now they control the financial system. When they don't control it, when the financial system collapses, and now we have things like cryptocurrency, for example, that we can do real-life transactions with anybody. So we all of us people have been using cryptocurrency and the alternative currencies, trading and bartering, using the silver and the gold backs. We've been practicing. We're going to be fine when a financial system takes a major dump, because we're still going to be able to trade with our neighbors, and we've been doing that stuff. If you've been taking or swiping a card and going to Walmart, you're going to be in a lot of trouble when that card doesn't work and Walmart's not able to function because the financial system collapsed. But those guys who plow the road, for example, they're valuable because they have a skill and they're willing to plow. You know, like it takes.
They'll do it regardless of the state existence.
Well, yeah, because I would, and they'll do it, and it'll be so much cheaper because if the people are just going to voluntarily pay them because they start up their own, they're just individuals and they're going to plow and we're going to hire them, you know, and it would be cheaper because right now the state has to maintain a standing army of police officers and military type people, military personnel, military weapons, and courts and judges and bailiffs and sheriffs and deputies and constables and all of these people to make sure all the slaves pay their taxes. That is super expensive to maintain an army. And even the standing and the founding fathers are, you know, were very much against maintaining standing armies. And that's what your local police, your state police, your sheriffs, they're essentially a standing army that's going to, you know, show up at your door if you just don't pay the taxes.
Yep.
And they got all kinds of
guns. How do you
know
that's true, Jay? How do you know that they'll show up at your door if you don't pay property taxes?
It happened to me about 10 years ago.
Yep.
6:30 in the morning, they're knocking on the door, and there's 25 cops out there.
Whoa.
And they're like...
Wait, they knocked on your door?
They knocked on the door 6:30 in the morning.
That's nice.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's yeah, they didn't just kick it in. They're like, hey, Jay, we're here to evict you, kick you out of your house.
Wow.
And I'm like, I object in the strongest possible way. And they're like, yeah, we know, we're sorry, but we got this court document, and, you know, there's a judgment against it, you know, for the house and tax lien taking, blah, blah, blah. They come and find out, tax lien takings, best I can tell, they only apply to commercial industrial properties, not homes.
So have you looked into doing anything like suing that town for doing something incorrect to you, or it's just not worth it?
I did sue them.
Oh.
And it was just promptly thrown out, you know, federal court. And in Massachusetts, from what I, with land court, there is no way you can get a jury trial.
Hmm.
There's no jury trial for a tax lien taking in Massachusetts.
Okay.
But they're not actually taking property. They're just taking the title to the real estate. And the deed to your property, if you guys look at your deeds, the word real estate's not on there anywhere. And if also, if you look like Bear Arms talks about, these towns and municipalities, when it comes to the property tax stuff, they don't use the term house. They don't even define a house. And the Constitution says, the Bill of Rights say in the U.S. and all the states that you have are to be secure in your, you know, in papers, effects, and house.
Hmm.
You're to be secure in your house. So how can they tax something that you have a right to be secure in? Well, they don't even define a house. They have like tenement house, boarding house, greenhouse. They got all these definitions, but not definition of house. So, but the, one of the next things we're going to work on is basically we're going to do a public records request to the local tax assessor to ask them for the process and procedure that they rely on for a tax lien, for a tax taking lien, is I believe what they, how they word it. And I've read some of that, but I want to see what they give me, what they're using. But what I can tell is it all has to do with industrial, commercial type properties, which require what's called a business citus, which means that they asked government for permission. They got some kind of license to operate a business, and that's what gave them the right to put the taxes on. But the problem is everybody started paying property tax on their homes in 1939 in this country. There was no, like this house here, previous 1939, I guarantee there was no property tax paid on it.
Hmm.
And then in 1939, after the Erie versus Tompkins Railroad case, what had happened in Palmer, Massachusetts, Thorndike, Massachusetts, and Bonneville, Massachusetts, to research deeds in these particular towns, is one real estate company or law firm or lawyer owned all these, every single property in town, except for like the mill and like, you know, these, the big like factories and stuff. They weren't part of this, but all the homes were granted to these lawyers for 2 days. So in the archives down at the bottom of Hampden County Registry of Deeds down in the basement, there was these archive books, and they have what's called grantor and grantee indexes. So my house in Bonneville, Mass was owned by Joseph Fury Esquire for 2 days. And then there was a date was like December 10th, you know, 1939, and then it was granted to Joseph Fury Esquire from Joseph O'Connor or whatever the guy's name was, and then it was granted back to from the lawyer to the original homeowner 2 days later. And when I asked these guys at the deeds hall about this, I'm like, well, what is this? They're like, oh, that's a lien. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Can I see the lien? Yeah, sure, you can see the lien. We're gonna have to, like, you know, dig it out of archives. So it's just a mortgage is all they said, probably just some kind of lien. And what had happened, best I can tell, is all of these properties were basically collateralized for the bankruptcy of the United States Corporation, and everybody's paying essentially this bankruptcy debt with the property taxes. But when the property taxes first came out, they sold it as, oh, you're going to get all this stuff. Not, and there was property taxes, but only on real estate. And real estate is defined in Black's Law Dictionary as basically commercial, industrial, agricultural type property, you know, and not like a little farm, but like these big, you know, corporate farms. And those are ones who were supposed to, you know, pay the taxes, like the mills, the ones that were making all kinds of production, the ones that were putting the wear and tear on the infrastructure, and the trucking companies and, you know, things like that. So that all changed in 1939, and basically I was escorted out of the Hampden County Registry of Deeds on my appointment date when I was supposed to look at these liens. So that's actually one thing I'm going to do in Merrimack County is I'm going to go into the register. Why? Because they just did not want me, like, looking into this.
Whoa, that's crazy.
But, you know, this was 15 years ago, and I wasn't in New Hampshire. Now what I can do is I could go into the Registry of Deeds with, like, Joa, and Joa being part of the media, or even you, or even Ian, when he gets back pretty soon. Hopefully he'll be back by the time I'm doing that, because he would probably love to come investigate this with me and,
yeah,
you know, record these guys being like, oh, you know, and I'm sure we're going to find this in the, in researching the deeds back. But if anybody wants to go research the deeds back on their property, especially if you're like east of the, Mississippi River, 1939, you're going to see that some law firm, some lawyer, or some real estate company owned the property for a couple of days, and then you take that name of that entity, and you look in the grantor index or grantee index, and you're going to start seeing just pages and pages of these guys, like thousands of transactions they did, and nobody can tell me why or what, and there was no reference.
I mean, just the logic, it just isn't there. Like, I don't understand why anyone, I don't care what laws are on the books or whatever, the logic of it's theft. It's stealing.
Yep.
I don't get it. Why they have to make it so twisted to just take.
And, well, today, well, back then, when they were doing it, it was, you know, maybe 10 hours of labor a year to pay your property taxes. I got, you know, I know so many people that are paying $20,000 a year in property taxes.
Yep.
How many burgers do you got to flip at your, you know, $15 an hour job to pay that kind of property tax?
Impossible.
And how much percentage of them taking your money is not slavery or theft anyway? FreeTalkLive.com is where you can go to hear more from us. Sorry if you didn't get on tonight. You can call back on Saturday. It's Free Talk Live. Peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.